B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 11:01. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. All right, let me give you the five, the weekend five, all right? And then we'll open up the phone lines for good and kind of really dive into the show. First question is, best thing, worst thing over the weekend that you experienced, watched, whatever. Your own best thing, worst thing from the weekend. Question number two, give me the one sport that trumps all others. Now, again, the one team in town, the 4-for-4, and you can't have Eagles. So it's the one team that you're always watching that you're prone to watch. Like, if I want to be honest about it, it would probably be Sixers.
I agree. Yeah, right? I didn't have to think twice.
You know, but Phillies, maybe Flyers, I love that. Like, you know, it all depends. So, like, again, I always go the kid route.
Right.
Like, they're my children. And I can't choose to show favoritism.
Yeah, well, I just say Sixers because, remember, like, a year ago, we had, like, that topic of would they, at some point, reach the level of the Eagles in terms of excitement and, hey, right, must-watch TV. Not surpass, because the Eagles will never be surpassed, but at least reach that level. I still think once the Sixers are, you know, really playing well together, that it'll get up to that level.
Well, they're the most interesting team right now.
Right.
Now, I will tell you, if I look about my own sports, if it's during regular season, forget football aside, I'll watch basketball, I'll watch the NBA. If it's postseason, like NHL is riveting. Like, I could put it on and just watch it, not even have a rooting interest.
Yeah.
Because it's riveting.
And you got Doc Emmerich on the call. And it's so much more exciting,
yeah,
too.
And in baseball, I love in April and October. Like, I can't get enough of it.
April, clean slate. Everybody's 0-0 to start.
I missed the sport.
Yes.
And October,
it's a sign of spring.
Yeah,
and
I love
summer.
I love watching October baseball. Love it. All right, question number three is this. What are you jonesing for? And again, I'll give you sports, non-sports. And this is off my buddy Boo's question, where he hit me with Saturday, can't you go for a Phillies game right now? And I was like, yes. As much as, look, we bitch and moan about them for an hour, he says, can't you go for a Phillies game? And I go, yes.
It's funny, because you got that text Saturday?
Yeah.
I was with my father-in-law Saturday, and he said, you know, right now I'd be sitting on the couch watching a Phillies game right now.
Really?
And it was right around 3 o'clock.
Wow.
He's like, yeah, you know, right now I'd normally be sitting on the couch watching the Phillies game, Phillies play. That's crazy that we both got that sort of comment from someone on Saturday.
Now, question number four is that we've learned to live without a lot of things during the pandemic. What's the one thing you learned about yourself that you can live without? It's a good question.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think.
Now, for some people, it will be baseball.
Right.
But what could you live without? You know, there's a lot that we had to sacrifice during this pandemic. What have you learned about what you can live without? Question number five, yeah, is this. The other aspect of life during the pandemic is this. What works and what doesn't work? So I read a piece that remote learning does not work.
Good.
That was Wall Street Journal, had a story on remote learning.
Good.
And it came to the conclusion it doesn't work.
Good. kids need to be around each other. It's not only learning ABCs.
Yeah, I agree with
you. It's learning how to hang out with little Timmy next to you.
I agree.
You know, not getting in a fight. Kids need to go to school.
I agree with you. So what works and what doesn't work? So think about what works and what doesn't work. Okay. That's your Monday five off the weekend. Let's get started on the phone lines. In Ernest, Joe in Alabama, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, guys, what's happening up there? I hope everything's getting better up there.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. What's going on?
All right, so flyers for me.
Flyers, okay. Great, right. Yes.
Obviously, you know, I was born and raised in that great city across the river from you, but, you know, you're born to be an Eagles fan. But you learn to be a Flyers fan, so you threw the Eagles out. I'd rather watch a NASCAR race than watch the Phillies, because you know what they're going to wind up being. They're going to wind up being 500 and not in the playoffs. The Sixers, you know, I'm not going to watch the Sixers until they get this Simmons-Embiid thing figured out, which one's going to go, and then maybe we can build.
No.
Yes, sir.
No, Joe. You don't need to break those two up. That's foolish.
Well, I mean, Embiid's going to be an issue, isn't he?
How could you say he's going to be an issue?
He just seems like
he could be the most dominant force in the NBA. You don't just throw that out.
Okay. I mean, he can't. Okay. So how can you pull for a team that blows out a team like the Lakers by 15 or 20? And then goes on the road and gets beat by 15 or 20.
I mean, come on, Joe. It's regular season, man. Get out. Stop with your anyway, sister hate.
No, I'm not a hater. I would just like to see more of a team, more of a team concept when it comes to.
What do you mean? What does that mean? Team concept. All right, go ahead. What else?
But anyway, the Flyers. I'll tell you what I love about the Flyers is I would rather, like I said, I would rather. I stay at work to listen to the night games on those two. Listen to those two clowns on the radio who are just outstanding, and I will not miss a Flyers game whether it's on TV or on. I have to watch it on. You know, listen to it through the internet.
All right, so you're Alabama, man. Talk about being alone in hockey. There's no hockey in Alabama.
I can't. Like I have to. Whenever the Flyers come into Nashville, man, that's like a road trip for me.
What part of Alabama you live?
I live halfway between Huntsville and Birmingham.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah, 150 miles to Nashville.
What are they going
to
do without Roll Tide Roll? No college football.
Well, dude, first of all, you got to get it right. I'm an Auburn guy. That's another story down here. You got to declare what you are. So I'm an Auburn guy, but they're going to play football.
I mean,
Alabama, you know,
I don't know.
Do whatever it takes.
They just had five kids test positive for the virus.
Well, actually, they had five, but they claimed 12.
that's bad, Joe. Listen, I hope you're right because I love college football, Joe. Thank you, buddy. How about Joe's a Flyer fan from Alabama?
About that. He likes Coatsy and
Auburn guy.
Tim Saunders says they do a good job on the radio. Call them two clowns.
You guys maybe joke around.
Oh my God!
Big Auburn, Alabama man.
About that. All right.
Listen, I don't know how they're going to play college football. I hope they do. I hope they figure out a way. But it's one thing the NFL, but you don't think you're asking kids to play.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Who aren't getting paid.
Well, that's the point.
And we, always hear how much money they make from fans in attendance.
Right.
And there's not going to be any. My buddy who's gotten to PT school in not West Virginia University, but a school in West Virginia, he says campuses are still going to be open in fall. Like, they're sending them weekly reminders. Like, hey, we'll still be open. Make sure you look for your housing. But I don't know. Is that true? A lot of Temple's put out a statement last week saying campus will be open come fall.
I guess, I don't know.
That's going to be interesting. I don't know. I feel like college football might be in trouble for this year.
I don't know how long, like those guys got to start getting together now.
Yeah. and play. You know, you mentioned the players that tested positive.
Yeah.
By the way, here's a tweet from Ray in terms of the order of preference for the teams. Now, he doesn't mention that he would pick a team to watch over another, but he says Flyers, Eagles, Sixers, World Series Phillies.
Wait. Flyers?
Eagles.
Flyers number one.
Yes.
Eagles number two.
Sixers. World Series Phillies.
Wow.
Union, the Wings, sleep, read a book, regular season Phillies. Screw you, Ray.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's wild. All right. Coming up, Rob's on the NBA. Vince on baseball. Freddie on baseball. Mike and Adam are going to take the weekend five. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Across the Delaware Valley, 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. I can't believe that we're sitting here June 8th, and they haven't even had a plan yet. Every other sport, NFL's working on a plan, NBA and NHL ready to go, and baseball doesn't even have a plan.
But Bob Nightingale says that they're going to play. As is John Heyman and all those guys. And Buster Olney. We just don't know when.
Yeah, but how do you play if you whatever. People want to talk about, let's talk about that. Let's talk about your weekend five. There's some good questions about life and some good life questions about what you've learned to live without. And what works. Like, this whole idea of, you know, one of the things that this pandemic has done, right, and you've seen it everywhere, which is this kind of reboot, right? We're now looking at everything in life. And it's almost like hit the delete button on how things were always done. That you see talking about the police and what people are doing with reform when it comes to police. Now, you need a police department. You can't have a society without any protective agency. Now, again, there needs to be reform and things that have to do to protect cops against bad cops, right? Let alone people against cops. But you got to make sure that there are safeguards there. But you can't, these people that want to just do away with the police department, I don't understand how you're going to, how do you police everyday life? Like, there still are criminals out there.
Yeah. Can't just get rid of them.
A lot of heinous stuff happens. You need protection.
Right. Now, you know, a lot of people giving a lot of credit to Camden. Camden, New Jersey, because they did a police reform and crime has dropped a lot in Camden, New Jersey. So I don't know. Maybe that's an area where, you know, you can get some plans from.
Yes, they've done a great job in Camden. Great job. So, you know, we're talking about you could change anything now. I mean, it's about, hey, look, we can reboot the whole thing. What works the best? There is no bad idea. Let's see if it could work. You know, again, just because something is done in a certain way forever doesn't mean it has to be that way. Doesn't mean it's the best way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know there's one that comes right to my mind about things that have been going well, and that's accounting firms. I know a couple friends who are accountants, and most of their work is on site. So once you can then go back to the sites, obviously you need to still do that, but going to the office, don't really need to do that anymore. One of my buddies says they've been more productive since working from home. Now, yes. the only thing they need to do is still go on site, which they haven't been able to do that. But I know a couple of accountants, a couple of buddies of mine that are just like, yeah, no, we're the firm itself is doing better. Now, tax day got pushed back, obviously, to July, so there's not as much stress. There's not as much.
No, listen, I think remote working, if you can work from home, I think is way better. Now, I will tell you, like, it's again, I can talk about it personally. I'm happier at home. You can tell I did the show from home for 3 months or 2 months, and there's no difference. And I'm more productive in that, I'm not driving. There's no commute. There's no hassles. You're not thinking about anything. You're just thinking about the show all the time. We have a different kind of world because we're always working.
Right.
But you just think you're always watching something, talking to someone.
Taking notes, all that kind
of
stuff.
I'm constantly on the phone with people. But I do think the happier employee is the better employee. The more productive. Yeah. I got my buddy. He's a lawyer. You brought up Tucci's a lawyer for a mortgage company. He's going to use, dude, I'm working more from home than I worked in the office. So I do think that productivity is better.
And then you think about the companies that can work remotely. Right, like we would still need a building because we need to run, we have the board and all that kind of stuff. But, think of the amount of money an accounting firm can save when they don't need a building because everybody's working from home. So you're not paying rent. There's no rent costs anymore. Or if you own the building, you have to buy the building. That goes away. You can sell the building, make money.
All right, here we go. You ready? This is hot off the presses. Major League Baseball made an updated proposal to its players' union on Monday, moving to have a 76-game season with players getting 75% of their prorated salaries. Carl Ravage had that.
Okay.
The proposal includes eliminating draft pick compensation for free agents for a year. Teams would not lose a pick for signing a free agent. The team losing the player would get a compensatory pick during the draft. The proposal includes a $200 million postseason pool for the players. The proposal would end the season no later than October 31st.
So Game 7 of the World Series, or regular season, October 31st. Would have to be Game 7.
Not the playoffs. Yeah.
So like the October 12th date for NBA Game 7.
Right.
October 31st would be Game 7 MLB World Series.
Yes.
Okay.
How about that? You know that? 76 games?
It's better than 48. Much better than 48.
76 games. You happy about that?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how the players respond. I mean, they're still taking somewhat of a cut, but 75% is better.
You get 75% of your prorated salary. 76 games.
Yeah,
there you go. So nearly half.
And Bryce Harper's still
going to get 75% of your half of what you were going to earn, basically.
All right. I'm excited.
Vince, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vin, how are you, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Listen, just wanted to call in. I got, I actually just got that alert myself from the ESPN. Didn't give too much detail. Pretty brief, but just kind of going off that, I think that that proposal, I mean, if they're finally starting to make some progress here, you guys were kind of talking about how they were kind of last on the list now. I mean, NFL, NHL, NBA, everybody's kind of getting these plans together. That the MLB, I mean, personally, as a Philly, you know, a huge Phillies fan, I mean, I kind of put them at the top of the list. And it's just kind of good to see that finally, you know, they're going to start making moves and kind of push forward. And, I mean, if they have to take the pay cuts, like you're saying, 70-something games over 40, I mean, if you're a baseball fan, I mean, you can't complain. I mean,
let's see how the players react to this proposal.
This comes from
the league, so the owners. So let's see how the players respond to that.
Absolutely. I mean, and I get it with the whole contracts and everything. And, you know, it's going to be affecting their pay. They're getting pay cuts, prorated, and everything like that. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I just think that, you know, everybody here, they want baseball back. They want to see the guys come out. They want to see them play. I mean, I was looking forward to seeing Joe Girardi this year coaching, you know, coming in new, and, you know, Bryce Harper finally getting settled in and everything. And, you know, like, I was just excited.
So your Phillies are number one for you.
So if we're going back and we're kind of talking about these, the Philly teams in order, Eagles, obviously, I'd say triumphs.
Yeah, well, let's put Eagles aside because football's a different entity. So take the other three sports.
Phillies, Flyers, and then, honestly, I'm not a big NBA guy.
Okay.
I mean, come playoff time, I'll tune in, you know.
But you're watching Phillies, so let me get this straight. You'll basically watch 162, assuming you have a chance to.
Yeah, I watch as many as humanly possible, as long as I got the TV on at home. Absolutely. I mean, it's just...
So, NHL playoffs, Flyers playoffs, Sixers playoffs, or regular season Phillies?
See, that's the debate, though. When the Flyers have their playoffs, I mean, they're just electric. I mean, I know there was some talk about how... I forget where I saw on, like, the Twitter feed that the hockey isn't as big, or... That's just kind of, you know, BS. But I think that NHL, like the Flyers playoff, I mean, they're just electric. They're fire. But if I had to choose, obviously, Eagles aside, I mean, Phillies are just going to be the number one for me. And it just kind of really, you know, lets me down this whole year, this whole pandemic. I know it's a big, you know, it's terrible what's going on. And there are bigger things in the world. But, I mean, I'm really hoping I can get what I can get. You know, I'll take whatever at this point. You know, I'd watch three games. I'd watch 50 games. I'd watch seven. You know, I'd watch whatever I can. I mean, so I'm really hoping that this proposal kind of, you know.
You got it, Vin. Thank you. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you. There's a baseball man right there. He's like you. Now, again, the union has said they will not take anything less than the prorated deal that they agreed upon.
Right.
So 75% is still less than what they said. It's still not the full complement.
Yeah, Ken Rosenthal just tweeted, players are still seeking 100%. Like, immediately after that report comes out.
There you go.
So, I got excited, and now it's like, no, okay, thanks, Ken.
Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see if they can push that through. It appears not. Let's go to Fred in South Carolina. Is this Freddie?
What do you say, mi hermano?
Oh, hermano! What's up, my brother?
Oh, not too much. And this is, Sal Chudas just put in just the perfect reason why I called. Tone deafness. That is the biggest problem, not only in our country right now, but in baseball. They're tone deaf. They have no idea or have any sense of what this time can mean. Like, this would be a time to get people re-energized about baseball, and they just completely missed the point. It's just, and it drives me nuts because, you know, I'm one of them guys, I'm in on the Korean baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
I love baseball.
The Dinos, baby. NC Dinos. I love the Dinos.
The Dinos. Those dingers, baby. Those dingers.
We got a big series. Dinos and the Deucin Giants.
Yes. Yes, yes. And I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It just kills you. It absolutely kills you because they have an opportunity to sort of remake themselves and to rethink, you know, where their standing is in relation to the other sports. Because the fact of the matter is, we've talked about for years how baseball is sort of losing its footing. And here's an opportunity that they could take, except greed
and tone deafness gets in the way, and it drives you insane. And this whole thing about, and it all comes down to money. It flat out comes down to money.
Yeah.
And they are completely missing the point. So, like, that's why, like, if you ask me what my number one is, my number one would still be the Flyers, because I'm absolutely in on where they're going. And then it would be baseball, because I get so frustrated with basketball and the way games go today. But I'm obviously still peeping the Sixers if they're in a playoff. So it just speaks to the biggest overarching problem is the tone deafness. You're missing the point.
Freddie, you're so right, man. You're so right. And we should not be in a situation now where they're just coming to grips with this. Well, you knew that you were going to be out, right? These negotiations should have already taken place.
Yeah, and obviously there's fault on both sides, but I think most of us are sort of more sympathetic to the players. But even the players have to sort of understand that, you know, they have a role in this. They have a part in this to say, okay, we get that this is what we want, but there has to be a win-win somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And both sides, again, are, and I don't know whether it's just arrogance, whether it's the amount of money they receive because of television contracts in the past, that their coffers are just full, but they're just, it just confounds me. And this is the problem, like I said, in so many other organizations, which is why you have such backlash right now. It's just utter tone deafness and the lack of wanting to find a win-win in the situation.
Yeah. No, you're so right, Freddie. So right. How you make it out during this thing?
You know, it's like you guys, you know, we teachers, we were just going. And so we just finished up our school years. But, you know, kind of piggybacking back with the college thing, my wife is a college professor down at Charleston Southern University, which is D1 football. It's the big South Conference.
Yeah.
So their athletes are coming back onto campus. So I think once again, we probably will have college football, but we'll have it for the wrong reasons. We'll have it for the greed. Because, yes, it is ultimately about, you know, you get money from the fans, but you also get money from television contracts. So I think that's where a lot of, especially the Big Five, the Power Five conferences, they have their own networks. They need that content. They need to sell that advertising. So it wouldn't shock me that, you know, college football will come back. There may not be fans in the stands, but there will be television revenue. So,
yeah, it's that sounds interesting. One last question, because you are a teacher. What do you think? What's your take on the remote learning situation?
It's, you know, for me, because there's only a certain type of student that does well with this kind of learning. Just like there's a lot of college students that don't, you know, they choose online university for a reason. But the reality is that there is a reason for public education. And the reason for public education, as most people know, is it's the interaction with other kids. It's the socialization. It's the development of relationships and friendships beyond just the learning of content. So, you know, I think remote learning works for certain people, but what we're seeing across the nation and across the world is that the gap between those kids who have access,
the capacity, to right,
that, and those that don't is widening and widening, just like the gaps all over. Outlash is so strong.
Real quick, because I know we got to go, but I'm curious your take on this. What about making the school? What about making the school week 4 days or 3 days in school, 2 days or 1 day remote?
Yeah, I don't see it as a problem, because I think, you know, logistically you can make that work. And for those kids that can't have access, there are ways to help support them. You know, I'm a huge advocate of like year-round schooling and getting away from this idea of, you know, the September to June and we're on this agrarian. So there's plenty of ways to do it. And I think that this is, again, a watershed moment for our country to say we can relook at how we do
it. It's amazing. You're right. I mean, yes. Freddie, great stuff, man. As always, great stuff. Hey, be safe, buddy.
I love you. You know that.
You're the best.
Soonest, you're the man.
And Cuz, thank you for keeping this going and keeping the conversation going. I know they've been difficult conversations, but they've been necessary conversations.
Yeah. No, thank you, brother. Yes, they have been. Andrew, that's interesting. It's interesting. He could be, listen, very bright Freddie. I think Freddie could be right about year-round learning. As much as kids would not want to hear about no summer or no summer vacation. But what you do is you just give them longer blocks of off time, right? Where you would have four semesters, basically, off the seasons with, you know, extended time off in between.
I hate it.
You hate it because, we're used to summer, right?
Like, yeah.
What sense does having all that time off and then kids have to become reacclimated with learning?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm
the idea of learning.
I might be just thinking first level, but still, it's like I think of my childhood and how much I enjoyed time down the shore, which, yeah, you could still do down the shore. You could do work, I guess.
Yeah, I'm nobody saying taking away the summer completely.
Right.
But that you would have a lighter summer program.
Yeah, but then what about like summer jobs and. Well, I mean, think about it. When you're. Some kids can start working when they're 14, depending on where at.
No, I hear you. Like, you're romanticizing it a bit. I get it.
I am. I don't know. I don't want to take away like the freedom of summer for kids. And sports in the summer. I mean, I lived baseball during the summer and basketball camps, right? Like that was like what I did in the summer.
Yeah, again, you could still go to basketball camps. Nobody's telling you can't go to the Legler basketball camp.
Right.
All right.
Like, right.
What he's telling you is that there could be another way of doing this thing. You know, and who knows? Maybe it is 3 days on, 2 days from home, or 3 days on, 1 day from home. And it's only a 4-day week. But, you know, it's year round. You know, and it's later in the summer. Look at that face. My God.
Yeah, I can't. I would feel so bad for the kids. I would feel so bad.
You act like it's being done to you.
Yeah, I know. I do. I don't.
But this again, this is, and Freddie characterized it correctly, a watershed moment.
Yes.
In that, you can look at everything and change whatever you want to change. Why not? It's a reboot time.
I don't know. I'm okay with the what's normal.
I also think, quite frankly,
school.
I think we as Americans work too much is expected. We've always had 20 jobs. I'm still doing all kinds of things, right? But it does show you, again, it's difficult because we can live a great life. However, we sacrifice as Americans a lot of time that's spent that could be spent with our loved ones.
Yeah, you work 5 days a week to try to hopefully have enough when you're 65 to retire, right?
And most of us will never have that.
Right. Yeah, you hope that you get there. Yeah, no, I hear you. I think I agree more with the 4-day work week than I do making kids go to school throughout the summer.
Yeah, remember, it would be a lighter summer program, but you would still go, maybe you would go... you would do the June. You would probably take a break over 4th of July for a few weeks.
Well, and now you're kind of talking like, tri-semesters almost, college.
Where you would go, does it matter?
No. I don't know. I don't think if I had a chance to vote on it, I would vote no.
You'd vote no because...
I would vote no.
Because of the what?
The freedom for these kids to... And plus, you learn a lot in the summer because you're hanging out with your friends. I don't know.
Come on, listen. I'm not saying you're wrong, But the whole reason why you're doing this is you feel this way is the romance of the summer.
Yes.
And again, I'm not telling you you're wrong.
Talk about not being able to spend enough time when you're working 5 days a week. Now, all of a sudden, the kid loses the family time during the summer. Or has less family time.
What does it matter? We're work, you know. Again, the adults are working.
True.
610-632-0975. We got one open line. You want to join us? It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis. Jeff's going to make his last sports call ever? Jeff from Camden?
What?
Really? What's that about? We got NBA. We got sports returning, sports changes. We got summer schooling, all kinds of stuff. Hey, listen, golf is back. That's right. We have a full weekend of golf ahead of us. And even though the trophy is reserved for the winner, the big cash winnings don't have to be. To add to the excitement, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action with a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. It doesn't get any closer to a major than this with all the heavy hitters taking the course. And DraftKings Sportsbook is the place to get all your bets for this weekend's tournament. That's right. Head to the app right now. Check out all they have to offer, including player props, day-by-day action, even hole-by-hole live betting. Plus, DraftKings Sportsbook is a safe, secure, reliable betting app. You can deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. And to top it all off, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a special odds boost and promotions throughout the weekend. You don't want to miss it. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code FANATIC when you sign up. For limited time, all new users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook going all out with a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Just enter code FANATIC when you sign up. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Got to be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only in partnership with Meadows Racetrack Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus, a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You got a little education from Fred?
Yes, interesting.
Fred called back during a break to talk to you about your summer romance.
Yes.
Or your romance of summer.
It was interesting. He, you know, told me a lot of stuff, and I could see where he's coming from. I mean, I still feel for the kids not being out of the summer, but he told me about, you know, in where I think it was California, he said, where basically all the schools took the entire month of December off. And I asked him, I was like, well, do you see some sort of, you know, lack of energy when they come back for January? Because all of a sudden you just had this month off, right? Like all of a sudden you just took off the entire month of December. Now you're back in January. He said, no, everybody's refreshed. Everybody's ready to go. And then you take it to January until April, or April you have off. So you have the month of April off for a month. You're back May, June. Then you're off July, August. Then you go till December. And then you're back January. So it is kind of like trimesters.
Oh, well, that's pretty good. So you get December off.
All December. You get the holiday season.
That's great. And you have April off.
Right.
Because that's the whole newness of spring.
Yes.
And then they're giving you off what?
July and August.
July and August.
They still get 2 months off summer.
You get 4 months off.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying 2 months in the summer. Like, you still get that July and August period.
So you're basically going, let's start the calendar. January, February, March, right? And then you pick up, you go May, June. You got to go July, no? Or no,
July, not? August is off, he said.
So you're going May, June, and then you're going September, October, November.
Yes, and he said September would be the start of the school year. So when you're done in June, that's when, like, you would then go on to your sophomore year.
How is that any different?
No, it really is. I mean, just an extended, you know, you have more days off in December. You lose days off in the summer.
Well, you're really not. You're off. You're off July and August.
Right. I mean, what? It's normally mid-June is when you finally go to summer break, and then you come back
seems
after
like
Labor
to
Day.
Me, like, you're getting better
time off.
You're getting more time off.
It does kind of seem that way, doesn't it?
Well, under that plan, my guess is, you know, at some point you got to go mid-August. In Phoenix, so my buddy, I have a buddy that lives in Phoenix that I did my weekend show with, and yep. his kids, they go to school in August. They start.
Yeah, I know some people that
they
did
start.
That, yeah.
I think California's like that too. They start mid-August.
And then you have a break around Labor Day.
Yeah, well, they have Labor Day week to Monday, right. but that's it. But they're going to school like mid-August, but they get out early.
Right, they're off in May.
Probably. Yeah, they're most of the year, early June.
Yeah, I know some there's high schools around here that do that. Some. I think. I remember talking to people saying that, yeah, you know, we were done in May.
Would you do the month off? It's not a bad idea. I mean, you know, again, even if you took 6 weeks off from July to like the mid-August, and then you did mid-August through November, and then you get your off for the month of December. That's good.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Nice little break. Two breaks because you get the one in April, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds appealing.
All right.
I would listen to it.
Let's go to Robbie. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob!
You know, I couldn't be more with Andrew. I actually am glad I'm 58. When I see the kids go back to school in September, I go, oh, it is so great not being a kid anymore. I love it. I love summer vacation. I loved it as a kid. I hated going back.
Yeah, it was the worst. No, so you still feel for the kids, you said?
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm thankful I'm 58.
Yeah.
Thank you. I smirk at them. But first, I want to compliment you. The day the bars were finally closed, you made a beautiful, almost, I can say, uncle-like speech that, hey, even if you don't believe it, act like you do. And you said, I won't. We're talking about the pandemic. You gave a great, I actually repeated it to people, especially some of my younger kids.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Yeah, it was just a great speech. But going back to this, I'm 4-for-4. I saw Don Money hit the home run in the first Vet Stadium game. Jim Bunning falling down on fastballs. Joe Horner got the save. So that's my resume. I watched that. Yeah, it's a good one. I watched that Sixers Celtics replay. I love the Sixers. I don't see them beating the Celtics lineup in a 7-game series.
This year?
I don't see them beating it. We got
Robbie, let me make the argument. See, yes. What you think. First of all, they've beaten them 3 out of 4 times.
Okay, I am going to put it to you this way. When you watch the Jordan Kempard series, how many times are you tired of Gary Payton, we beat him 3 out of 4, or Karl Malone, we beat him 4 out of 5 in a regular season?
No, but I mean, I look at this, I don't know why you were in love with this Celtics team.
Well, I'll give you this much. Remember the greatest basketball game ever played, the fourth quarter of that All-Star game this year, which we'll never see it again? You could almost tell who the league respects, like our man. Joel Embiid's out there. You see how Kemba Walker and Kyle Lowry, right from there, you saw, oh my God, that's who the other players, just by who the 5-on-5 were. In addition to Kemba over Kyrie, Jason Hayward with the ankle healed or the lower leg healed a little bit, and the total lack of confidence.
I'm way on the other side of this thing. The only time the Celtics beat the Sixers was without Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker struggled to get his shots off against the Sixers when they D'd up in those three games against them.
Anthony, that's why we love you. You give us hope. Well, I'm not going to root. I'm not being a
homer here, giving you this. I really believe the matchup favors the Sixers, but we'll see. I guess so, Robbie.
Well, good luck. Hey, love you guys.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate my brother. Thanks a lot. That's shocking to me. Rob, great sports guy. I don't need to, you know, again, his resume is his good resume. My man knows, I can tell he's a sports guy. I completely think the Sixers match up against Boston.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm not in love with that team. I hate Kemba Walker. I'll be honest with you.
Remember how many times people wanted him to.
I hate him. He's an undersized two guard volume shooter. I mean, he's a good kid in law, but I'm sorry, as far as his game, I kind of shrug. I don't like him.
Yeah, I still see the Sixers matching up with Boston. And, pre-pandemic, the two teams, their arrows were pointing different directions, right? The Sixers were kind of pointing down, Celtics were kind of pointing up, but now that there's a stoppage in play and you can try to figure things out, I always thought, the Sixers went 3-1 against the Celtics this year.
Right, in one game, that Saturday night, Kemba Walker didn't play in Boston. Now, I'm surprised that he was really convinced. Like, to me, the team that beats him is Milwaukee. Now, again, we'll see what kind of rhythm they have. Well, that's a pretty stock team. So that's the game I'm afraid of. And then I'm also afraid of something stupid with Miami.
Like,
the Sixers are better in my eyes than Miami, but I'm afraid of something stupid because, first of all, they're well coached. And they play that zone
that just
gives them fits. And I'm afraid Spoelstra somehow employs that thing and, they get frustrated.
Yeah, we just say the Sixers went 3-1 against Boston. They went 1-3 against Miami. And like I feel the same way about you, like you do. Sixers have so much more talent than Miami. But they couldn't figure out a way to win. They couldn't figure out a way to beat that zone. Embiid was lost against it.
Well, they all were lost.
Yeah.
The other problem is, I remember the game against Miami here. You remember the one they had a great comeback, and it was the game Ben dished off to Horford at the end of the game.
Against Kendrick Nunn.
Yeah.
Who was 5'10".
Well, Horford was open. But one of the things that, remember that game, because Sixers started out real hot. They went and they had a great first quarter. In the second quarter, Miami went on a 35-5 run.
Yeah,
remember
something
this?
Ridiculous like that, right?
And they just couldn't hit it. They couldn't hit a shot. They couldn't hit a shot. And I wonder, they had such an issue that does that come back? Does it come back? That's my biggest fear with them. Is it the way Brett wants to play, so reliant on perimeter shooting?
Yeah.
They're not good perimeter shooters. They're not a great perimeter shooting team. So does it come back to bite them?
It may. Let's face it. The one time they really shot well, was against Milwaukee on Christmas Day. When they hit, 20-some threes? That was the one game that they really shot the lights out.
Yeah.
Other than that, people will say, they're in the top 10 in three-point shooting. Well, yeah, because they take an abundance of them, and they're, 10th. Or they're middle of the pack. They're not an elite three-point shooting team. That's not where their strength is. But you're right, it comes back to that, that's part of Brett Brown's strategy. He doesn't have the pieces to do it.
No.
How many times do we complain about that? Hey, you have J.J. Redick, you have Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Yeah, go ahead. Shoot 43s. But how many times did we look it up where it was they shot 30-plus threes that game, but they shot 25%? How many times did we see? I remember we looked it up. The amount of times they shot under 30% from three. And a lot of those games they lost because they also shot 40 times.
Yeah, they shoot way too many threes. That's always been a problem. They just shoot way too. They're a team that should not be shooting that many threes. I'm not saying you got to go back to shooting single digit three point attempts, because the game's not played like that. However, there's a difference between shooting 8 and shooting 40.
Right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.